Well, good morning and happy Father's Day to all you fathers and all of you who have had a father and all of you who knew a father or know a father. We just bless you in Jesus' name today. And so excited to be with you and thankful for the rain. Yes. Well, it's we've been in a series on wisdom, and we are continuing a series on wisdom with a focus on fathers today. And so we've been looking at a verse or a set of verses, multiple verses, but keep coming back to kind of the same set of verses. And we're going to go back there one more time today, and we keep picking out different things each week in this pile of verses. And it's the verses where, if you've been here the last 2 weeks, you've heard this both times already, but it's the verses where David, King David, remember David and Goliath, David, King David, is on his way out. He's an old man now, and he gathered one last big gathering of all the leaders of Israel, the leaders of the stables and the crops and the lands and like just the community leaders and the clan leaders, and gathered them all together as he was transferring kingship, right? It's kind of the inauguration or whatever. And he has some moments during that speech where we're kind of getting to see his last words to Solomon. And so he's speaking as a king to the next king. He's speaking as a father to his son. And so we get this little snapshot in this moment where, as he's on his way out, and we said this last time, I'll say it again, we usually pay attention to last words, right? Because you're standing there and you're looking backwards on your own life, and you're looking forward on your successor's life and also on your son's life. And so there's a lot hanging in the balance in that moment. And King David is really kind of distilling his life's experience and what he's learned and what he knows. And if you guys ever, all of you that are probably over, maybe even under 18 know this, but all of you that are over 20, you've figured out, do you guys ever remember a moment in your life that you went, oh, that's not as important as I thought it was? Have you ever had those moments where you went, I was so bent out of shape or so driven or I was so distracted or I was so gung-ho? And not that it's even a bad thing, but that's not nearly as important as I thought it was. And we find that if we walk in wisdom as we go along in our life, hopefully those moments become more and more. And so King David, as he's older and as he's listened to counselors and wise people around him, and as he's gotten wisdom from God himself, he's kind of just grabbing the thoughts that have sifted out, right? As everything else has kind of fallen off, the chaff has blown away, kind of the nuggets of his life that are worth passing on. We're getting to see the best of the best, right? We're getting to see, all right, let's strip away all of this stuff. Maybe some of you guys, when you go to a feast, maybe you guys just dive in like Dwight used to and just say everything from everyone. Didn't matter if it's your plate, his plate, my plate. You're just going to eat everything. Or maybe you're like, whoa, we only get this once a year. So I'm not going to have the bun. Don't give me the bun. I don't want the bun. Like Marnie, not so much anymore, but when we first got married, the first few years, she's like, you can have my steak and my stuff, but give me the extra bun. I'm like, you know what? I got one shot at this baby. And I'm going for the steak. I'm going, you know, just get rid of the stuff that is good, but it just doesn't really matter. I don't want the bun. So in these last moments, David's getting rid of the bun. He's like, I'm not just going to give you the filler stuff. I'm giving you what you really need to know. I'm going to give you these nuggets that because you can't, hopefully you've listened to other stuff in my life, but right now in these last moments, I'm going to tell you what's really important. Take the meat here. And so we see this glimpse into David and Solomon's life, where David's really talking to the whole assembly of people, and he's giving them instructions, but he's also taking this moment, and fortunately he did, because it got recorded. And so these verses are familiar to you. It's in 1 Chronicles 28. It's what we have read before. Remember, we talked about the wholeheartedly, you know, that was the first week, and then last week was the willing mind. We got to have a willing mind. And these are the nuggets. David is saying, Solomon, if you want to have success, O king, you know, if you want to walk in the same kind of, David ruled for 40 years, if you want to walk in that same kind of success and not have a short kingship, if you want to have a long life, you want to have a long kingship, you want to have a prosperous kingship, man, worship and serve him with your whole heart and with a willing mind, all right? So today we're looking at just this little glimpse, Solomon, my son. He's in front of this crowd of people, right? And he's talking about having this little moment with his son. Solomon, my son. Now, what does he say next? All right, you've got the attention of the whole assembly, all the leaders of Israel. Everyone's looking in, right? It's like a movie, you know, where you've got this intimate moment and, you know, the camera zooms in. And so the camera zooms into this. And David is on his way out, and he's saying, Solomon, my son, look what he says next. Learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship him and serve him with your whole heart and with a willing mind. David reckoned that the most important nugget that he could pass along to his son, develop a heart that pursues the Lord. Learn to know. Say no. Learn to know God. Learn to know God. Solomon, you know about God. Learn to know God. Learn to know him intimately. Learn to walk with him. Solomon, you're serving Israel, right? You're serving God's people. So don't just do your duty. Don't just go to the temple and do your offerings, and don't just phone it in, Solomon. Learn to know God. Like, he could survive as king without knowing God. Amen? Now, probably even with that, his heart did go astray at the end, but David is saying, if you want to, as my son, not just as the next king, I'm not just giving you great king advice, but as my son, learn to know God. David is saying, if I can pass on anything to you, I want to pass on a desire to know God. And listen, dads, if you can pass on anything to your kids, come on. Pass on a desire to know God. And getting to church is good. Like, that's a good thing. That is never not a good thing. That's a good thing. But passing on this desire to know God is that's a whole different critter altogether. You see, that's one thing that David did well. He was a worshiper. He was a pursuer of God. He knew that Solomon had watched his life. He knew, like, he brought the Ark of the Covenant, man. He set up the tabernacle. You know, his heart, like, the thing in his heart was to build the temple for God. He passed that on to Solomon. I mean, God did, but it was in David's heart to do. Oh, son, if you could only know, and you need to know, and you should know, son, pursue the Lord. It's worth it. It's worth everything else. Listen, here's the bun. Know God, right? I mean, the bun's good. Get that later. But know God. First of all, Solomon, know God. Learn to know the Lord. Learn to know God. And dads, thank you for getting your children to church. Thank you for being faithful, but I'm just going to challenge you. It was like, and I agree, Mother's Day is like, moms, you are so amazing. You do so much, and you're so awesome, and we don't worship you because that's illegal, you know, in God, but, you know, close, like, whatever's, like, not worshiping you, you know, like, just, you know, right? Yep. Father's Day is like, suckers, step up. It's so true. But you know what? I'm unapologetic for it today. I am unapologetic because, guys, your role is indispensable in these kids' lives. You cannot be duplicated. What you bring to the table, man, it is invaluable. It is the steak, no bun there. These kids need you. Your grandkids need you. The neighbor that you look over the fence at as he's out mowing the lawn at 17. Good job, buddy. The kids that look to you, they need you. And they need you to know God. They need you to know God. And if you're like me, maybe I hope you're not like me. But the first thing that comes up is insecurity. I won't ask you to raise your hand, everyone. If you're honest, every one of us will. Every one of us dads, you know, I mean, I'm in a public speaking, so I can fake my way through lots of stuff, you know, whatever. But we hear these women pray, and us guys are like, God, you good? Thanks. You know? And like, we feel like that's pretty good. Like, that's like a good one, you know? You should have heard my one last week, honey. We get intimidated. We don't know what to do next. But I bet if you strip all that away, in spite of our resistance, and in spite of our stop nagging me, and in spite of our, yeah, I know I need to, there's a desire in our hearts to worship God. There's a desire in our hearts to pass that on to our kids. But a lot of times the best we get is, yeah, you need to be going to church. You need to go. You know? And it's out of a good heart, but I'm just going to challenge you guys today. Step in and step up. Come on. You got this. Well, how do I do that? I'm just going to say, whatever you're doing, do one thing more. Baby steps go a long way. Man, maybe your kids never caught you reading your Bible ever in 15 years. Maybe strategically, accidentally let them catch you reading, doing your devotions this week. I'm not asking you to be a super dad, because Jesus will make that up. Like, you just set your hearts to pursue God. Bring your honesty and your insecurities and your what ifs and your I can'ts and lay them down at the foot of the cross and say, God, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need you. I know this is important. I got to be a godly grandpa. And not to look good and not to check some box, but because Solomon watched his dad. Well, yeah, that's King David. You've got a calling. Every one of you dads, whether you've got biological offspring, whether you don't have never raised any children, because someone is looking to you. We have such an absence of fathers in our society. Such a deficit. The world needs you.
Well, if we would have known this was what church is going to be, I would have stayed home today.
Just challenging you guys. We need you. We need you. You're so important. We pray for you. We lift you up, and we ask God to bless you. You got this. You got this. Put the Bible app on your phone. Maybe set, go get an egg timer. Go get a $1.99 egg timer. Set it for 3 minutes. And you just start praying. Walk through the house and pray. Yep. Pick your wife up off the floor after she faints. Okay? Right? I'm just saying, guys, no one's asking you to be spiritual Chuck Norris here. Right? You just need to show up. You just need to show up. Show up with a heart that feels that it's important to pass on a hunger for God. My son learned, and I love this here, and you get this glimpse into David and Solomon's life. He said, he's telling Solomon these things. Learn to know the God of your ancestors. And how? Learn to know him intimately. Worship and serve him with your whole heart. Let your whole heart be pulled towards him. And with a willing mind, we talked about those. And then he switches and he starts talking about God. He gets so excited. David gets so excited. Oh, I can't talk to you about what you're supposed to do without talking about God. For God sees, I know him. I know him. God sees the heart. He knows every plan and every, like, David, it just pours out of him because he spent time with God. And then he's putting them together. He's talking about what God's going to do and what you got to do. You see that? He's not just talking about God. He's talking like he knows. It, with humility, and he's saying, see, if you seek, he's trying to pass this along. Solomon, son, if you seek him, you'll find him. He's not saying, rest on, hey, Solomon, look how close I was with the Lord. You'll be good. He's saying, look, son, if you seek him, he's going to tell him what God's going to do. You'll find him. If you forsake him, he'll reject you forever, because that's just how he set it up. Solomon, son, oh, I want you to be blessed. I want your kingship to be long-lasting and powerful. How can I transplant this? If I could rip it out of my heart and put it in yours, I would. And just feel that heart in him. Just learn to know him. Solomon, son, learn to know him. Learn to know him. It's honestly, I read lots of Christian articles, leadership articles. A lot of studies have been done. And you want to know one of always the top reasons why children don't serve the Lord after they graduate, or why they do? You want to know what always makes, it's not always the number one thing, but often it's the number one thing. It's always in the top couple on all these surveys, all the Gallup polls, all the Pew Research. One of the number one things is, did my parents tell me about God, but did they live it? Talk about a kick in the gut. Did they live it? Did they live it out? Not perfect. No one's caring about perfect. Was it sincere? Did they really? Kids have an uncanny ability to forget how you fail. If your heart is for them and your heart is right. If you're a turd, they remember, you know? But if your heart is right and you're humble, man, they'll cut you a lot of slack. And dads, they need you. They need you to be real. That means I've got to walk out this walk with God. You feel beat up enough yet? I'm calling you up, man. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you to God things because people are dependent on it. So great fathers pass on a heart to serve the Lord. Let me look at a Proverbs. We're going to start Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The only thing before this is called the introduction, and most Bibles don't have that, okay? This is Proverbs. This is the beginning of Proverbs, okay? And we're talking about Solomon. Solomon wrote the majority of Proverbs, all right? When Proverbs were written, Solomon was probably about in the middle of his life, you know, probably about middle-aged. He had acquired enough wisdom to write. He wrote over 3,000 Proverbs, wrote all kinds of songs. He was world famous, right? He wrote this collection of Proverbs, him and Lemuel and Agar, but mostly him. And later on, some other ones were gathered of Solomon, but the first part of the book of Proverbs is written by Solomon, and he starts out this, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. How many of you guys have ever been in someone else's shadow? How many of you went to school and you got called by your older brother or your older sister's name with the teachers? Or maybe everything you ever did in your life was compared to your mom or your dad. Oh, that's cool. You're doing that too. Your dad did that. He was awesome at it. Oh, thanks for that. Oh, you're playing football too. Your older brother. Yeah, he was a superstar. Right? Pastor Fearing used to get so mad all the time, and he even when he would tell the story, right? He was 65 years old, and he's telling this story about when he's in high school, and he still gets physically agitated, talking about, where's Judy at? Talking about from the football field, instead of Dwight, he'd get called David. And David Fearing in for the tackle there, and he's like, it's my brother, I'm Dwight. Dwight, I made the play there. That was all me. Was reading some stuff about famous, you know, actors and singers and stuff that have littler, or maybe not even littler, but other siblings that are trying to make it in the same industries, and it's so difficult because you're always under that shadow. And so you've got Solomon coming into his kingship as a young man following the great King David. And they used to sing a song when David was not king and Saul was king. And they sang a song, Saul's killed his thousands and David's killed his tens of thousands. Guess how that made Saul feel? Torqued him off, and there's at least two different times he took his spear and he chucked it at David and tried to pin him to the wall, the Bible says. Saul was full of jealousy and bitterness. So you've got this untouchable king. I mean, larger than life. King David. All of your top 40 songs are written by your dad. Right? Because the Psalter, this, what we call the Psalms, that was what, unlike America, the king was also, you know, it was the religion of that community was also the laws. Like, it was all tied up. It was all together. And so their songs were their national songs as well. So they would sing these songs. Oh, my dad wrote that one. So he's growing up watching in awe of this great king. Hey, son, ever tell you about the giant? Yes, dad. I killed him, you know. Yeah, you had some rocks. Hey, okay, 400 times last week. I heard about it. Goliath, four brothers. Yes, you were going to kill them too because you got five stones. Okay, we've heard this one every time we have pot roast. It's all about, you know about Goliath? So he's heard these stories. You ever hear of the Mighty Man? Oh, for crying out loud, Dad. Yes, the Mighty Man. One jumped in the pit and killed a lion on a snowy day. Man, and you were their leader. Okay. Yay, king. So he's heard these stories all his entire life. And I just want to tell you, everyone is insecure. Something I learned from Chip Ingram. Okay? We all walk with at least a little bit of insecurity. And I don't care how good people look on the outside and how well they're doing at their jobs. I'm not saying everyone lives in it all the time, but we all have a root of insecurity in us just because we're human. So Solomon's walking into this going, okay, so I'm next. You guys ever had to do something where you go speak or sing or do something like that, and someone before you, like, they knock it out of the, I mean, like, you're just like, whoa, and you're next, and you're like, I have a puppy, and I had him when I was five, and I'm going to go sit down now, right? Just, it's so hard to follow something like that. So Solomon's the next act, and he's coming up to this going, what, how do I follow that? What do I do? What do I bring? I haven't killed nobody. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just a boy. And he has this God encounter, and he prays for wisdom. See, it was already in his heart, we're going to find out later. It was already in his heart to pray for wisdom. That was planted there. So he prays for wisdom. God blesses him. Oh. This quote. Don't live in someone's shadow. You'll just be stuck in the dark. I love that quote. And so he's living in the shadow of David. Insecure, unsure, inexperienced. He didn't go to king school, right? So he's next in line. I've got to follow this five-star act. My dad, 40 years of prosperity and blessing in Israel, defeating his enemies. Like the mighty men that I mean, they're killing thousands of people and like of their enemies. It's unbelievable. I'm supposed to follow that. And so Solomon, we're getting a glimpse now into about the middle of his life. He's writing the book of Proverbs. Okay. By this time, he's collected these Proverbs. He said them. He's getting to be world renowned himself. The Queen of Sheba, kings from all over the earth sent either themselves or an entourage to listen to him. They wanted just to hear him talk. The Queen of Sheba said, it's better to be a servant listening to you than a king in another country. Listen, the Queen of Sheba said, it's better to be a servant listening to you than to be a king somewhere else. That's how blessed your kingdom is. So Solomon finally can go, all right, I might have been insecure, but I think I maybe made it now. I think I'm all right here. And you need to understand that kings, they usually fought and clawed for every bit of ground that they had. There was always uprisings. People were trying to kill them. You know, different clans within your own country were trying to... I mean, that happened to Solomon. His brother tried to take the kingship away from him before he even got inaugurated or whatever. And so, in the midst of all of that, Solomon starts writing the book of Proverbs, which is going to be his, kind of his ode to glory. I mean, this is his coup de grace. It's the pinnacle, Proverbs. He's the man of wisdom. And he gets to choose how he starts this out. He starts out Proverbs of Solomon. Son of David. Spent all these years, man, wondering if I could ever live up to what my dad was. Can I ever rule like he ruled? Am I enough? He starts out the book that's going to be the culmination of what his life is now. I'm the wisest man in the world. God gave that distinction to me. He starts out the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. He didn't need to put that in there. In those days, he shouldn't have put that in there. He's supposed to be establishing his kingship now. Don't talk about another king. Don't talk about another leader. Don't talk about someone else, especially if they were great. If you're going to talk about them, put them down. Solomon says, no, I know who I am. And I know how I got where I got. My dad. It's my dad. Sure, I carry my own accolades now, but you know what? I'm not forgetting where I came from. I wouldn't be here today had my dad not invested in my life. Wisdom recognizes what others have invested and contributed in our lives. I said this earlier, but there's a lot of grace for mistakes when you've got a good heart. Solomon also, he also knew that he was the product of a relationship where my dad had an affair with my mom and then killed my half-brother's dad. That's messed up. That's really messed up. Solomon knew that there were faults, and yet he said, you know what? King of Israel, I'm Solomon. Son of David. I want to carry on his heart and forget about his mistakes. You know, and I apologize. You know, I feel for all of you who didn't grow up with a perfect dad. You know, Marnie's close with Jim, you know, but it's But I just want to say, dads, stop beating yourself up so much about your mistakes. Chase after Jesus. Yeah. Chase after Jesus. Because if you get that right, everything else is going to work out. If you get that part right, everything else is going to work out. If your kids watch you pursue the Lord and they capture that, the rest, you know, maybe we'll do some counseling or something, whatever. You know, we'll get some issues worked out, but the rest will work out. We'll get it taken care of. It'll work out. There are no self-made men or self-made women. So we pass on, great fathers pass on a heart to serve the Lord. They recognize and appreciate the investment of others. And they also instruct and teach. Dad, you guys are always on the line. You guys are always teaching. Your kids are looking to you. How do I change a tire? How do I, I love my son. He's pretty smart and he's creative and he's he wants to investigate things. I don't know if there is a word for that. Inquisitive. There we go. He's inquisitive. Well, I kind of ran out of answers for him when he was like 7. And I think that I'm not well-read, but I've had some exposure to a lot of different subjects. That's always kind of been, I always wanted to be able to at least have some familiarity with a lot of different topics. So I've always tried to read lots of different things and at least expose myself to a lot of different thinking and especially I love science and all of that. And so, yeah, I mean, he was like 6 or 7. He's like, Dad, so if the quantum field of this and then proton is doing that, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. My go-to has been, call Ellen. So I apologize for that, Ellen, but I don't know. But your kids are always looking for you to teach them, instruct them. And I just, guys, I didn't get this. We're going to jump ahead and we're going to look at this last little section of Proverbs here. Until I was studying for this wisdom series, I didn't see this before. So here we go. Proverbs 4, we're starting the chapter. This is Solomon talking. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. See, fathers teach. Pay attention, gain understanding. I give you sound learning. Come on, dads. Your hearts are for your kids. You're going to give them sound advice, not squirrely advice. They're getting advice from other people. They're looking to you to give them advice that is going to give them a solid foundation. So don't forsake my teaching. Listen to this now. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me. Hold on. Who's his dad? David. He's talking about David here. Listen to this. Watch. Watch this here. I have never seen this until I started. You guys all know about this already. I didn't. Someone should have told me about this. I did not know that in the book of Proverbs, we had a whole section of David's teaching to Solomon. I'm like, what? I'm reading through all my commentaries. I'm like, oh, he must have got that wrong. And so I keep reading. I'm like, no, that's really what there's. And it's in quotes in your Bible because it's, he taught me and he said to me, quote, this is David talking. Take a hold of my words with all of your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she'll protect you. Love her and she'll watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head like a crown and present you with a glorious crown. Whoa. That's David's words to Solomon when he was young. And now he's relaying those words to his kids. Man, instruct, teach, do the best you can. You're not going to have all the answers. You're not supposed to have all the answers. A couple more points real quick. We'll finish up. So they instruct and they teach. Look. One more thing. Look for teachable here. If I can give you a nugget, no bun here. Okay? Here's no snazza bun here this morning. This is something that we've learned. Listen to this. Tune in. Listen up. Grandparents and parents and friends, people, if you got breath, listen. Way less of your scheduled instruction time is gonna have effect. And then you still need to do that. All right, guys, come here and sit down. We need to talk about this. Okay, now you need to pick up your laundry, you need to do that stuff. You got to have those teaching moments, okay? But I'm going to tell you what, the best teaching moments come, and they often, to you, look like annoyances. Listen to me. Look at me. They're inconveniences. But in that moment, your kids are hungry. Your grandkids are hungry. The neighbor kid. Oh, can we do that? What are you doing with this? Why do we do that? Listen, their hearts are just little sponges. But we want them to learn when we want them to learn. Kids, come down here. I was at someone's house and it sounded like that once. Sit down. All right, we're going to talk about how we're going to behave in this house. You know, whatever. And you need to have those moments. But I tell you what, when you're after a long day of work and you're trying to get out to feed the cattle and, you know, the one thing's broken down and your son's like, Dad, did you ever think about this? And you're like, stop, I've got to go. Like, hold on, that moment. They're like, Dad, teach me, teach me, teach me. You're driving in. With Taylor and I, our thing was Wednesday nights after church. That's when we'd have the huge, deep conversations. Those moments where you're exhausted usually, just seize those moments. Seize those moments. There's as much about the content of what you're teaching them is the timing. If throw out the bond, man, that's a nugget. That's a nugget. Look for the those holy moments. Great fathers put in the time. Solomon had to gather up. He had to pray with God. He had to learn all of this wisdom. He had to write down all of these proverbs. And who is the proverbs written to? My son. Like, he put in these probably thousands of hours of preparation, getting the proverbs, getting his other teachings, preparing the kingdom for them. And he's like, I'm going to take the time. Guys, take the time. Invest. I mean, that just goes back to my last point. Just don't be so on mission that we miss those moments. And the last point is going to actually be very similar to that. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. We read this already. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning and do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me. Listen, fathers, recognize the tender moments. And recognize that your sons and your daughters are tender. What you say and how you treat them, it is going in deep. Dads, they need you. They need you. They need you to show them what a fallen, imperfect, but godly man looks like. Don't strive for perfection. Strive for heart. Don't try to know all the answers because you're not. Google does. I say that kind of jokingly, but I think about the hundreds of questions that my own kids ask me, and I think you've got a device right there. You could just Google that. They're not always looking for every answer. They're looking for you to instruct them. They're looking for you to speak into their tenderness. Here's one more nugget. One more nugget. This is for marriages. This is for coworkers. This is for, you know, every relationship is at a different level. So especially for the intimate relationships, fathers and sons, fathers and daughters, you know, husbands and wives, mothers and sons and daughters. Tenderness. We learned a key to getting results recently, probably 5 to 8 years ago maybe. And it's this. You've got to have heart first. You've got to be connected with someone. If you do not have their heart, you do not have their head. The same thing that you say when you have someone's heart that creates transformation in their life. If you don't have their heart, you say the exact same thing with the exact same tone in the exact same way, and you birth rebellion in their spirit. You have to have their heart. You have to have their heart. I was just in a tizzy a while back, and I won't go into any details, but let's say Dad was a little worked up, and this wasn't a, I'm worked up for an hour. This is like days. And it was getting up. Tell you what, this Naza house is perfect. Except for 365 days a year. During those days, it's a mess. But it's a glorious mess because we invite Jesus in the middle of it. And I was really overly upset with one of my kids. And I knew it. And I knew I couldn't back down. I couldn't unplug. I was stuck on the treadmill, and I was just rattled, and I knew it was too much, and it was, yes, it was at Avery, yes, it was. um, And so my gentle wife, like what you see of Marnie is that like that's what you see at home. I mean, it's just she's the same. All like she's common sense, she's calm, she's tender. And so I'm just off the deep end. And I mean I'm off the deep end. I mean for days. And so finally, and she's crying. I'm just letting you into just an ugly moment here. Just letting you, hey, just come walk in, camera, zoom in, right? And just look at nonsense here. And Marnie is just, you know, through snot and tears of her own, she's like, do you have their heart? What would you say if someone was coming to you with this same problem? I know what you'd say because I've watched you. You'd say, do you have their heart? And I said, no, I don't have their heart. And I knew it. And I knew I was only going to breed rebellion. And I knew it. I'm like, so we got there. Things are good. It's a happy ending. But that's the one thing that we point to every single time. We're done with this. Just, they're tender. You got to have heart. And we, Marnie and I know that if we don't have each other's heart, if we're in the middle of an argument, we're just, or it's more like, hallelujah. Rah. Is that how it is, dear? We know that if we don't reconnect hearts, we'll look at each other's eyes and say, I just can't even hardly stand being in the same room with you right now. But I love you. Man, I love you. Dang, you torqued me off. But I love you, and I'm for you, and we're going to get through this. And I have only your best in mind, and I think you're being stubborn and not listening. And we're pretty honest. But we're for each other. We're for each other. And when our hearts get reconnected, guess what? It isn't magic fairy dust. It isn't rainbows right the next second. But all of a sudden, we start making progress. All of a sudden, you're not my enemy. I've got real feelings right now, and there's been real misunderstandings. But gosh, I am for you. Man, I love you. We're going to laugh about this on the other side. We're not going to ignore it. We're not going to sweep it under the rug. Not going to be scared to say things because I love you and you love me and we're connected here. We're getting through this. You have someone's heart because if you don't get the heart thing solved first, everything else is just noise. Guys, that's worth the price of admission right there. That is going to revolutionize some of you guys' relationships. You're so focused on the thing. The thing's important. Don't think the thing isn't important. It's important, but you got to go for heart first. You got to know someone's not your enemy. Because you don't care for advice from your enemy. Someone that's for you? All right, now I want to listen to that. Boy, you make me mad, but I want to listen. All right, tell me what you're really saying. Okay, now you're right. Okay, I could see. You know what, when you say it like that, I could see how all of a sudden we're listening now. Fathers, your sons and daughters are tender. Make sure you have their heart. Bring the stuff, take care of the business, but make sure you've got heart. Amen? Amen? Thanks for listening today. And I just pray that there's some nuggets there that we walk away with. And thanks for the journey through Solomon and David's life. And let's just pray. God, I just bless these dads and moms and grandpas and grandmas and neighbors and stand-in fathers and mentors. And I just bless them with hearts that chase after God because that's the most important thing, God. May we pass that along. And I pray that you would guide our footsteps, guard our hearts, and help us to be great dads. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Have a great Father's Day.